This is High Country Views. News for people who care about the West. I'm Callie Carswell. With me in the studio today is Rachel Waldholtz, a High Country News intern. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Callie.
And High Country News Associate Editor, Sarah Gilman. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Callie.
And then the 6T right over there is where it's going to be. And then there's going to be another one up there by the clubhouse. And then a third one down here in the gully. So they'll be all around us here.
That's Bob Arrington, a retired engineer who lives in Battlement Mesa, Colorado. Arrington was standing on his back porch, pointing out sites where natural gas wells may soon sprout from a golf course bordering his property. This prospect has Arrington and other Battlement Mesa residents more than a little on edge. Rachel, can you tell us why?
Yeah, Callie. Battlement Mesa is a community of about 5,000. It's a housing development in western Colorado. It sits up on this bluff above the Colorado River and I-70. It's a really gorgeous area. And it has been marketed for over 25 years now as a retirement community. But actually, its genesis is a little strange because it was built by Exxon to be the company town for its ill-fated Colony oil shale project in the early 1980s. And Exxon originally had a plan to house 20,000 people, workers and families there. And then the oil shale project went belly up and Exxon had this housing development on its hands and eventually sold it to real estate developers, but it retained the mineral rights and it also retained specified well pad sites within the community. Those well pad sites went unused. Most residents didn't even know about them for a long time. And then last May, Antero Resources, which is an oil and gas company, announced plans to drill 200 wells inside the community from 10 of those well pad sites. And some of those wells will be within about 500 feet of houses. One's right off the golf course, which has people pretty upset.
So why are they so worried about these wells?
There are a lot of potential health impacts connected with natural gas production. Garfield County has a long history with gas drilling, and there are definitely some stories that have raised concerns with folks. In 2004, Divide Creek, which is near Battlement Mesa, was so contaminated with methane and benzene that neighbors could light it on fire. In 2008, an outfitter in Garfield County took a drink from his tap and was rushed to the hospital. He'd been poisoned with chemicals that had seeped into the spring that provided his drinking water, and he had 18 natural gas wells surrounding his property. And a county survey found 5 drinking water wells contaminated with methane in the area. And locals blame this contamination on hydraulic fracturing or fracking, which is the drilling process in which the drilling companies will pump high-powered water and sand and chemicals into wells to break up the rock and release the gas. And so there's been concerns that when they do that, some of those fluids or the natural gas itself can then migrate through those fractures in the rock to people's drinking water, to underwater aquifers. There haven't been studies that have proved that, but there's lots of anecdotes suggesting it.
So what do we know about the chemicals being used for fracking?
That's a good question. The recipes of fracking fluids are a trade secret. They're proprietary information. So companies don't disclose the full recipe, but we do know some of what's in there. It can include things like diesel. It can include volatile organic compounds like benzene, which can be carcinogens. They can cause neurological disorders. And fracking fluids are not the only thing to worry about with natural gas drilling. There's also the dust associated with truck traffic and drilling. There's diesel exhaust from truck engines and from generators powering equipment. And all of these things can exacerbate existing health problems or create new ones. But we know that some of these chemicals are used, but we actually don't know how much folks who live near them are exposed to it or what those health impacts are, because there haven't been any formal or comprehensive studies of the health impacts of living near natural gas. And so the folks in Battlement Mesa, they gathered 400 signatures for a petition asking that before they permit this drilling, that they conduct a health assessment. And in February, the county agreed.
So, Rachel, what's the significance of that study and what exactly will it do?
The county actually decided to fund two studies, and the first is going to be a health impact assessment, and it'll be the first health impact assessment on an oil and gas project in the lower 48. There was one done up in Alaska in 2007, and basically what a health impact assessment does is it gathers all of the information that's out there right now to present regulators with a picture of what we know and what we don't know and what the possible health impacts might be, and then it comes up with recommendations that say, you know, here's what we think Antero can do to modify its plans and lessen the health impacts. And then those recommendations will be presented to both the county and the state. And actually, neither the county, the state, nor Antero have to take those into account. It's not a formal part of the permitting process. But Antero has agreed that it won't apply for a permit until those recommendations are in. And the state has said that they'll take it into account. So that's the first time that a formal health assessment will be included in the permitting process here in Colorado.
Now, this health study is really just one example of what's been growing national concern about the health impacts of oil and gas drilling and the need to increase regulatory scrutiny on the industry. Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about how that's been playing out on the national stage?
Yeah, interestingly enough, people have been making a lot of noise from places like Western Colorado for a long time about the potential impacts of natural gas drilling. But a lot of the momentum you're seeing now is coming about in part because there's a huge natural gas boom taking place in the east on the Marcellus Shale Formation, which underlies New York State, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and some parts of other states. And it got a lot of attention this past spring when it turned out that a company called Chesapeake Energy had leases inside of New York City's watershed. New York City's watershed is one of the few unfiltered, untreated watersheds that serves a major metropolitan area. It serves 9 million people. And so those health concerns that Rachel was just talking about become a paramount concern when you think about that many folks. And so there's a lot of hoopla. The New York Times was covering a nonprofit called ProPublica, began covering it, and it kind of rose onto the national stage. And so that played out as well in the FRAC Act, which is an oversight act that would basically remove an exemption that the natural gas industry enjoys from the Safe Drinking Water Act that was based on an EPA study done in 2004 that concluded fracking didn't need that kind of oversight. And there have been a lot of questions raised about that study. So what the FRAC Act would do would be to basically remove that exemption so that hydrogefraction be regulated under this act. And it would also require disclosure of the chemicals used in drilling, hydraulic fracturing fluids. And so that bill now has 57 sponsors in the House. Granted, they're all Democrats, but 15 of them are from New York and a handful are from Pennsylvania and New Jersey, which is unusual because usually these are Western issues. But even with this momentum, the FRAC Act, though it's gotten a lot more national media attention because of what's going on out east, wasn't really going anywhere. I mean, there's the economy to think about. There was healthcare reform, and it kind of stalled out. In fact, it didn't have a lot of support from Western states that have drilling. And so the bill's co-sponsors pushed instead for a rider on an appropriations bill that called for the Environmental Protection Agency to restudy the potential impacts of hydraulic fracturing. And now the EPA is looking into that again.
And this new EPA study is significant because back in 2004, the EPA released the results of a study on hydraulic fracturing and declared that there were no health impacts to worry about or environmental impacts. And the result of that was the Safe Drinking Water Act exclusion that Sarah mentioned. And so having the EPA return to the subject is an important step. And so far, the EPA has been pretty coy about the scope of the project and exactly what they're going to study. But it looks like they're going to study not just hydraulic fracturing, but the sort of full impacts of natural gas on water quality.
And we know that many Western states are never fans of increased federal regulation. So how are states reacting to this federal push to crack down on natural gas?
Well, it's interesting because even as the FRAC Act has sort of stalled out in Congress, there's actually been much more action at the state and local level. You have this study coming up in Colorado. You have in New York, folks were so concerned about the potential impacts of hydraulic fracturing that they sort of essentially blocked any drilling in the New York City watershed by imposing restrictions that are so onerous that they assume that no drilling company will want to jump through those hoops. And in Texas, there's a lot of local efforts to monitor air quality and take a look at what emissions are coming out. But sort of most interesting is what's happening in Wyoming right now, which is that earlier this month, the Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission voted to require all drilling companies to disclose the recipe of their fracking fluids to regulators as part of the permitting process. And that's a first. Colorado requires companies to have that information available in case of emergency and then disclose it to public health officials. But Wyoming would actually require the state to have that information on record. And what's interesting about that is that actually it was Wyoming's attempt to prove that the state is regulating fracking properly to stave off federal intervention.
So Sarah, since the Obama administration has taken office, we've really seen onshore oil and gas reforms moving forward already. Is this sort of an extension of that?
I think in part it is. And I think the other reforms that you see actually have less to do with human public health and more to do with overall environmental health. In May, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar announced a series of reforms at the Bureau of Land Management, which is the agency that is chiefly responsible for onshore oil and gas drilling, mostly on public lands located in the West, announced a series of major reforms to its policies to account for other environmental impacts, like potentially impacts to wildlife habitat, which has been a big problem up in Wyoming, to archaeological resources, which has been a big problem in Utah. And what they announced basically is that before large developments of natural gas that have been identified in kind of master planning processes for huge chunks of land, millions and millions of acres, the BLM will go in on the ground and look at those places and lay out plans that are sort of smaller scale for how leasing will move forward and whether even leasing is appropriate. And it also recently announced that it will no longer be using something called a categorical exclusion quite so willingly. A categorical exclusion basically allows the BLM to permit a smaller scale oil and gas project, ostensibly that has already gone through some kind of environmental review. And the Deepwater Horizon spill that's in the Gulf, that well was actually permitted with a categorical exclusion. And I think there's been increasing scrutiny of that kind of treatment of oil and gas as well.
So just jumping back to natural gas, why are these efforts to increase scrutiny of the industry so important right now?
Well, the natural gas industry actually went through a huge slump because of the recession. But natural gas is getting lauded by a lot of very prominent people on both sides as a major part of the solution to climate change, because you can transition off of coal power, which is a major source of emissions, to natural gas. Natural gas is a fossil fuel, but it produces less than half of the carbon emissions of coal. There's going to be an increasing demand for this resource, which is a pretty important resource that is produced domestically and provides a lot of our electricity and heating supply. So as that ramps up, it's going to be really important to be paying attention to the other impacts it has. It's not a perfect fuel. It has impacts, as we've discussed.
And, you know, this study that the EPA is doing is not scheduled to be complete until 2012. And if the Frack Act stays stalled in Congress, these local efforts like the Battlement Mesa Health Assessment or what's going on in Wyoming are really important, because those are regulations and oversight that's moving ahead right now.
You can read Rachel's story about Battlement Mesa in the current issue of High Country News. This has been a production of High Country News, a nonprofit covering the important stories and issues that define the American West. Our magazine prints 22 times a year, and you can find us online at hcn.org.